Episode 413, March 25th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Welcome to the show. We have survived the bachelor party.
Barely.
We have lived to tell the stories. We will spare no details, Joe Robinson. You are exhausted.
Oh, dude, I'm so exhausted. Well, you probably got to sleep in this morning.
Yes, I was exhausted, but now I'm rejuvenated. Your day started Friday at like 4 a.m. when you did 98 Rock.
I woke up at 3:50.
Okay.
You can hear my voice, party voice. I woke up at 3:50 that morning because my first air check was 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do a little bit of prep beforehand. So I wanted to be there by 5. I didn't want to be, you follow.
Yes.
So three, and then I went to sleep that night. I guess it was technically the next day.
Yes.
At 2, which was pretty early.
Oh, that's early. I stumbled up at 6:15 a.m.
I think I was the first person to bed.
Which makes sense.
But I was up 22 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Straight. And then I woke up. I woke up early, you know, just because my body woke me up. And I went downstairs, played a little blackjack. Won, went to the craps table, gave away 500. Then I was up that night until 4 a.m.
Yes.
Then I woke up still around 9 o'clock the next morning, and then I went down and I played poker that morning. And,
yeah,
of course, we have some stories, yeah.
And then you came home. You went out to eat with Katie. She was telling me about that. Then you got up today.
6 a.m.
And then you went to do 98 Rock.
3 o'clock.
Which is why we're starting at 7:45.
Starting now and I, yeah.
Do you have one more performance left in you, this podcast?
I was thinking about that. Even I was fine on 98, but I wasn't at my best.
Right.
It was a lot of, yeah, 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 it's good, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, because I mean, I'm doing this, obviously, with you tonight, but then I'm doing 98 Rock Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I drive to Charlotte to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then I drive home Sunday, and then Tuesday I drive back down to VA Beach to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Jeez.
So we have a lot of run of being entertained, but it was a successful bachelor party. We have some great stories to tell. Not sure where to kick it off, but thank you to our friend Mike for hooking us up with the rooms.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Robbie showed up. Obviously, Justin, Eric, Tommy, Sean Gabbert, Frank. Frank was a big hero this weekend, I thought.
He was.
Katie's brother, Ryan, who I got to know a little bit better. We're standing there, and we're at the sports book or wherever we are. There's a group of guys, I don't know, probably around age 30-ish. Just hanging out drinking. And he looks over at them and goes, yeah, that used to be my life. And I could tell, like, so you know I got two kids and a wife, so it's a little different. I said, yeah, bet you miss it, don't you? He goes, yes, of course he misses it.
Yeah, yeah, you can't admit that. There were things
right.
that about that life that you miss, and there are things that you'd miss about this life.
Yes,
doesn't
absolutely.
Mean this isn't the better life.
No. Well, when you go on, you know, when you go to a casino, I think you always want to get off to a good start. You want to, let's come out. Let's get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never having that stress of being down or you stay ahead or even the whole time pretty successful, right? So I get there and I don't know, maybe it was the fireball that we just did in the room or whatever other reason, but I confidently put a crisp $50 bill into the 25-cent slot machine, hit the max bet, and ding, 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 ding. Oh, $0 left because it was a $25 slot machine, not 25 cents. Boom. Good start, Rob.
I made a much worse error, times worse, actually, later on, but it's part of the end of a story, so I can't tell it right now. But being tired, you shouldn't be playing that tired.
No,
it's always bad
not.
For gambling. I didn't end up, I think I was ended up down not too much, maybe like $300, something like that. But one thing is, we talked about doing some sports gambling. I did not cash one ticket that was my bet.
Yes.
I made a bet for Katie. It was the only ticket I cashed, and it was Ohio State, and that's the only ticket that I cashed the whole tournament was one, and I came here and I handed Katie $90.
So Katie won more than you.
Well, she bought me dinner yesterday. Go ahead, Robbie.
I was going to say that I think Eric made a much worse mistake than yours, Rob.
Well, I made the worst of the three mistakes. We'll get to that. Yeah, Eric's mistake was he put, I believe it was $5.
That's it. Yep. Yeah.
Into a slot machine, and he won $195.
Pretty like huge return. Polls.
That's a pretty nice little rate of return. And he proceeded to lose that ticket.
Yeah, you go, there's machines, you go cash it immediately. You go put it in the machine, you get that money.
I don't know why you'd carry around that ticket. It doesn't make any sense to me.
None. Unless you wanted to play more slots with it, because you could put it right back in. But at that point, you're not going to get more than $195 on a $5, you know, you're putting in. Yeah,
what's the jackpot? Right. That had to be basically it, right?
I'm sure, yeah. Sorry, Eric. I thought that Frank had one of the best moments. We're in the room. At some point, we went to the room. We had alcohol up there, and we decided to just, you know, let's hang out there for a little bit, watch the end of this Ohio State game. That between Phil, who had a pretty sizable bet, and everyone else that had a bet on Ohio State, there's probably $1,500 up for grabs there to win if they cover. So, I mean, they're ahead, and it's looking, you know, good, but it's definitely still in doubt. And someone had taken a water bottle, they drank it, and they crushed it in their hand. And so, you know, we're guys, so obviously we try to throw the, you know, shoot the water bottle like a basketball into the trash basket. And no one can make it because it's a weird shape, it's a weird size, the weight is distributed unevenly. And so I end up betting that Sean couldn't make such and such. He misses it. I win $10. So Frank, Katie's dad, the stud that he is, he's sitting on the floor with his back to the bed. The wastebasket is in front of the TV on, like, the TV stand. And he, you know, shoots a couple, makes one, misses one. I said, I bet you can't make 6 out of 10 for $20. So fast forward, he's at 2 for 6. And the two that he's made, they were
dicey.
Just dicey. So I'm thinking pretty much luck. Suddenly, boom, third shot in, swish. Fourth, swish. Five. Now everyone, by the way, is watching this. Not this $1,500 basketball game. Fifth shot, swish, six, swish. Never a doubt. He suckered me.
He did. He hustled you.
Yes. Everyone's going crazy. I'm the big loser.
Also, we had a toast, and Eric Woodworth, he had a great quote. You can go ahead and give. See, I don't remember it exactly, so I'll let you.
It was somebody to the fact, you know, I'd given a standard toast. We love you. Congrats. And then, you know, Frank, sorry about having Joe in your family. And Eric says, look at the bright side. You get to marry your daughter and one day get to see her become a widow.
Come on, I got to outlive Frank. He's 9 years older than me.
it was good stuff.
Hey, Robbie, you didn't play Quiplash, but you watched it. I want your opinion.
I didn't play because my phone only had like 10% on
it. Well, but let me set it up a little bit. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but Quiplash is a game where they ask a question, you try to write the funniest answer to that question, and then everybody votes on whoever had the funniest answer.
It's always going to be an inside joke amongst your friends.
What we've made it into is saying the worst things we know about the other people in the room and other people that we know. That's what it's become. And I, like, for example, my friend, I don't know if we've ever mentioned him many times on the show, John Muma, came in from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was great to see him.
And I could tell he's like, I'm not okay with this.
Yes.
I'm not enjoying
this. He's a nicer person.
He's too nice.
Yeah.
So, but it gets really, really down and dirty. And I saw Robbie there, and I didn't see you laughing much, so I didn't know if you thought it was funny or
no. I was over there. I couldn't even breathe. I was laughing so hard. I said, I'm going to have a heart attack. I was laughing so hard.
Well, unfortunately, I can't. We can't divulge the funniest answers because I'm sure they're just atrocious.
I got a hit.
Yeah, we're watching. You know, watching a game in a sports book is exciting because everyone is rooting their ass off for whatever side they bet on. Right. Or in your case, with the Maryland game, you're rooting for, and with other guys there, the team that the school you went to, the team you love, and you bet on it. So there was a lot of just excitement in the room with that, and. They came back. They almost won. It was a tough loss.
It was tied,
but it was really exciting.
Yeah. It was super exciting. Now, if you listen to this show last week, I guaranteed a loss in the first round, which they eked out.
Yes.
And then I guaranteed a loss in the second round, and they did lose. However, I'm in line, and Phil, who is my former landlord, you've heard about on here, is a big Maryland fan. I said, you're going to bet the game? He goes, I'd never bet against Maryland. I wouldn't do it. So I'm standing in line getting ready to bet against Maryland, right? And there's two guys behind me in line. And they're like, all right, well, we're definitely going to take Maryland, and then we're going to take Maryland in the parlay, and then we'll tease Maryland with this. And they said Maryland like 8 times. So I turn around and I go, you guys are going to bet Maryland? They go, oh, yeah, we love Maryland. I go, well, you know, they suck, right? You know that, right? And they go, what do you mean? And they start giving me, you know, the coach of the other team is on, you know, has been fired or whatever. Yeah. And this is happening and that guy's doing this. And I said, those fuckers talked me into betting for Maryland, which I literally said I wouldn't do. Now, if I had bet Maryland.
Just the norm, the point spread.
The points, which I've never made a money line bet in my life. Not one time.
A money line means you're just betting they're going to win straight up, even if they're. Like, if you're betting an underdog, they could lose within the points, and you'd still win.
And I would have won $140 on my $100 bet.
Mm-hmm.
I've never bet the money line. I go up there, I bet the money line, I make two other bets. Maryland, of course, loses by 2. The point spread is 3. If I would have bet the points, I would have won.
Yes.
Instead, I make a bet I've never made in my life before. And then I made two other bets, and those also lost. So I never, ever actually cashed a ticket for myself during the entire trip.
Well, I made a joke on Facebook, you know, as we were heading up there, going to Atlantic City, you know, March Madness, can't wait to bet on Utah State. I know nothing about Utah State, but it seemed like a funny reference. Clearly not a powerhouse by any stretch. And so Phil goes, well, you got to bet on Utah State. I go, I guess you're right. I have to. They're like a 4-point favorite. Bet on them. They lose by 25 points. So it's like I had to make that joke. I couldn't have made a joke about a team that ended up winning.
Did I know Vermont lost, Mark, as you talked about them. Did they cover, do you know?
I'm not sure if they covered the spread, but since you didn't see the game, all I say is this. It was a fantastic game. Really, Vermont tied Florida State at the half, 27-27, and they were bouncing back and forth between the lead, not having the lead. But in the end of the game, they lost by 6, if I recall.
Yeah, well, Florida State's a real good team. Game. That's no embarrassment, yeah.
So Justin is a big UFC fan. He gets there, and he's like, hey, there's a UFC card tonight. There's 3 bets. That, I don't know. The odds, they don't make any sense. I'm doing a 3-fight parlay. This one's guy's a slight favorite. This guy's an underdog. This other guy, Pettis, the only guy I've heard of in this whole thing. This guy, big underdog, but I think he's due. I think he's going to knock this guy out. And everyone's like, let's do this parlay. You bet $50, you're going to win like $500 or something.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's not even on TV. Do I want to do a 3-fight parlay, just be on my phone looking at this? That doesn't seem like an enjoyable betting experience. So I'm like, I'm just going to bet on the big upset. Just $40 on Pettis to win. No, I don't know anything about his opponent or how big an underdog he is. So then John Mooma shows up, who's another UFC fan. And Justin tells him his bets. And John's like, yeah, I disagree with all of those.
Yeah,
like,
he wanted to go the opposite everyone.
And then Justin's like, yeah, I mean, Pettis doesn't really have good of a chance. Now he's totally back. Not confident at all. And I'm like, why did I bet on this guy? So it's the 3rd fight of the 3. Justin, he wins the first, loses the second. So now it doesn't matter. A parlay means you have to win every bet. You don't. If you win one and not the other two, you get $0. It's all or nothing. So he doesn't care about the Pettis fight. So I'm following it on Twitter with updates. And, you know, he's getting dominated the first round. So I'm like, of course he is. Out of nowhere, he knocks the guy out.
Yeah.
So the bet that Justin, the one he should have made, the big underdog, He should have put all that on Pettis.
What did you win on that $40
bet? I bet $40. I got back $160.
That's great.
Yes. It was really good.
That'd have been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some pretty bad luck, I think. As a matter of fact, I lost not just for myself, but for a entire group of people, $28,000. And maybe we'll tell that story after the break.
Be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 20th at Amp by Strathmore. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now back to the Robin Joe Show.
There's a term in gambling, and especially in poker, a bad beat, which is where you have a hand that's really good that normally would win, and you just happen to have the bad luck of running into an even better hand. So you have a really premium hand that's going to win most of the time, and you just happen to run into somebody that has this even bigger hand. Now, at casinos, they'll do something called a bad beat jackpot. Which is like it's a rolling over thing that
progressively. Yeah, I think it takes from the rake and pours into this pot. Right.
So basically, if you lose when playing poker, if you lose a hand where you have
four of a kind or better,
meaning I have four twos, you lose to a guy with four threes, or lose to a guy with a straight flush, then you are the bad beat, and you win in a lot of cases, depending on the casino. Could be $100,000, could be $50,000, could be $30,000.
Just to give you some perspective, the jackpot at Ocean, it was $28,000, but nobody had ever won it.
In its year of existence. And not only does with the $28,000, if you are the bad beat, you get $14,000. The person who beat you gets $7,000. Everyone at the table, just for sitting there, gets $1,000.
Or they actually get the remainder. It's the percentages. Okay, they would have gotten about $1,400 because there wasn't.
Gotcha.
It wasn't a full table, but yeah.
And then the dealer obviously is going to get tipped off of that, so he or she is going to make at least $1,000 probably, yeah. If not more. So now you're caught up on that, Joe.
So I'm going to go as little poker as possible, but I do need people to understand. There's three people in this hand, and there was a raise. So there's about $40 in the pot, and there's three people in the hand. Me, my friend Gary, I may have mentioned him before, and somebody we don't know.
And the best hand in poker is a straight flush.
A royal flush is the best hand you can ever.
A straight flush is five cards in a row, the same suit.
It's the least likely hand to get and the best hand in poker. So the cards come out, two of clubs, two of spades, three of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Gary has the ace of hearts and the two of hearts. The guy at the under end of the table, so Gary checks because he has three twos, you know, and that's clearly going to be the best hand. He's trying to disguise it.
You want to entice someone to bet at you.
Sure. I also check. The guy who had made the original raise bets about $25.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Gary, who has three twos, and he clearly has the best hand. It's unlikely that the other guy's two threes, which is the only hand that's better. He folds. I'm sorry.
Calls.
Yeah, he calls. I fold. So now I'm gone because I had a seven high, by the way.
Anyway, there's no reason for you to call.
No. So the next card is the four of hearts. And this guy bets again. And my friend Gary raises. I believe that he puts them all in at that point. The other guy calls. So there's really no more money that can be made. All the money's in. The last card comes over, five of hearts. So Gary ended up having the ace, two, three, four, and five of hearts. He had a straight flush. The hand that I folded was the six of hearts, seven of hearts. So I folded a hand that would have been worth $7,000 to me and $14,000 to my friend. And the money starts being pushed over, and I say, hey, I had 6-7 of hearts. The dealer goes, no, you didn't. I go, yeah. He reaches into the muck.
Which is the pile of folded cards.
Pulls it. He goes, oh, my God. He pulls them out. He goes, this guy just folded the bad beat or whatever. calls the floor manager over. He goes, you idiot. They start shitting on me. Everybody at the table is like, you motherfucker. The other tables are looking at me like, this idiot. The whole poker room knows who I am.
Yes.
The dumbest guy. Now, by the way, I'm going to defend it a little bit. Clearly, there's no reason for me to be in that hand, but I cost everybody at the table $1,400.
Yes.
I cost my friend Gary $14,000.
And the dealer who'd never dealt a bad beat in his career, in his 50s.
He'd never dealt one.
Right.
Yes.
Plus, he would have hit a lot of money.
Sure,
on tips.
Everybody would have tipped him at least, yes, 5% or whatever it, yeah, was. Yes. So, fast forward to the next day. I'm working on 4 hours of sleep in the last, 48 or whatever. I'm tired as hell. And I shouldn't have been playing. And I'm not going to go through this whole story.
Can I, from my standpoint?
Sure.
I walk over because I'm in the sports book. I'm watching the Caps game. There's basketball on. And I just walk over. Joe and Gary have been there about half hour to see how you're doing. And I walk over as Joe, the hand is over, and he's pushing his cards, face down cards, into the muck. And then he looks at the guy and says, I thought you folded. He goes, no, I called.
So I had a full house. This guy had 3 9s. I would have, it's a $400 pot. I folded by accident.
Once you put your cards up like that, you're conceding.
So that's obviously exhaustion, and I probably should have quit.
But you, I never see that anger. You stood up. You're like, oh my God.
At myself.
Oh my,
yeah,
God. You were pacing. You literally stood up, sat down, and stood up, sat down 3 times. I'm
so
going to leave now.
Mad at myself,
yes,
right? It was just, I've never made a mistake like that in my entire life. But it was a $400 mistake. It's livable, but
it's annoying as
shit. It's all, God, it was so annoying. Anyway, whatever. That's not the story. My friend Gary is now shitting on me as well about doing that. And every single new person that comes to the table, he's going, hey, he folded the best hand for $400. This guy right here. Every single person that sits down. Well, fast forward maybe an hour, this lady sits down. And my friend Gary goes, hey, this guy folded the best hand for about $400. He accidentally folded it. She goes, you think that's bad? Some idiot yesterday folded the big beat, the bad beat. I'm sorry. He goes, yeah, that was him too. So they literally think I'm the Tom Myers of poker. Sorry, Tom Myers is a bad local comedian. But yeah,
Chris Restivo.
The Chris Restivo of poker, yeah.
Well, they're still they're going to be talking about this forever there.
Somebody in that casino is talking about that today.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's happening.
Because casinos, they all have stories. That's of the history of that casino, you're on the Mount Rushmore of their stories.
Do you know that there is a movie called Honeymoon in Vegas,
mm-hmm,
where Nicolas Cage has a straight flush, and he loses to a higher straight flush, and he loses to James Caan, and he loses Sarah Jessica Parker in a card game.
Right.
Okay? Now, Sarah Jessica Parker...
Oh, by the way, Katie also lost in this bet. So.
Yeah, true.
She's now marrying Gary.
Robbie, you love that movie, right? Honeymoon in Vegas, isn't that a movie you like?
It's fine.
Oh, I felt like you liked it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. In this movie, at the end, Sarah Jessica Parker does a little research and realizes that it's impossible for that hand. Not impossible, but
right,
she does the math and goes, well, you obviously cheated.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, that just happened to me. It's a movie based on that hand, and the unlikelihood of it happening is what the whole basis of the movie, Honeymoon in Vegas.
So we're just hanging out, and Justin says, hey, let's... Somebody walk by, and we'll act like we know him. We'll give him a name. We'll, like, hey, so-and-so from camp, remember? Outside of Philly? And they just keep going and keep just insisting that we know this person. We go, we're in. And we come up with a name, Barry Bickerstaff. Guy walks by. Jessica goes, Barry Bickerstaff! The guy goes, I am Barry Bickerstaff. Shakes his hand. Just plays along. We didn't know what to do. We were like, well, that wasn't how this, we thought this was going to go. We were stumped. We're like, okay, I guess that bit's over with. He called our bluff, if you will.
Hey, real quick in chat, Matt Colby says, you didn't go, Robbie? Which he did. Robbie did go. He said, I thought I saw you in a video of you and Eric singing All Star with some fresh ass black dude. Are you talking about Tommy? Is Tommy the, I wonder who that, the, that who they're referring to.
Because of that
to. Suit. Must be. No, Tommy is a white guy. You probably just saw a purple suit and assumed. No, Robbie, I was wondering if, Robbie, did you have a good time?
There were moments that I really enjoyed. You want to guess what my favorite part of the time was there?
Either the food or Quiplash.
Free dinner.
It was hanging out with John Moomin, swapping stories.
Yes, that was great. That was really good to catch up and just. There's a few stories that every time people were together, I tell the same one. I don't care. I want to hear it. I'll hear it the rest of my life, and I'll love it every time.
Yeah, and he tells them great too.
Yeah,
so that, that helps.
And then you tell yours, and everyone, and they just were just. Like he told the story about the did you hear the smelly navel story, Robbie?
No, I missed that.
Robbie's okay. Gonna love this.
So this is a story that he's telling Justin. It's him and Justin. They're at this open mic in D.C. about 10 years ago in Adams Morgan. They're waiting on our friend Jay Hastings to show up, and John's like, "Do you know what the smelly navel bit is?" And Justin's like, no. He goes, well, you start putting your finger in your belly button, and you put it in your nose. You act like it smells. And you just do that around some friends. And eventually they're like, what's going on? I'm like, man, it just doesn't smell good, right? You don't oversell it. And they go, you know, well, let me smell. So you just sort of gradually bring it. Nothing suspicious. But what they don't know is that you have previously put your finger up your ass. So then they smell it. They go, oh, it smells like shit, right? So Justin thinks this is the funniest thing ever. So their friend Jay is showing up. So, of course, Justin gets himself prepared. Jay shows up. He does the whole thing. Does it brilliantly, according to John. Jay goes, smells it. This smells like shit. Oh, but the kick of the story is you go, well, of course I had my finger up my ass, right? So then Jay puts his finger up his ass. Now he's chasing after Justin. They're in this comedy club, like dueling shit fingers. These are our friends. These are our best friends in the world. I don't know what that says about us. So Dave Wilkerson had some dicey moments.
Dave Wilkerson, also former landlord,
yes.
Right?
He stayed. By the way, Dave is the guy that when we went to the Prince concert in Baltimore, and he said that he saw Beyonce in a limousine, and he waved at her, and she waved back, and we were like,
no, they asked for directions.
Okay, yeah. So he had a conversation with Beyonce, and I'm like, whatever. Then later on, we read in the online that she was at this concert. So I'm like, okay. I mean, she was in Baltimore. You know, you got to get to the arena somehow. I'm sure she was in a limo. It's starting to be make sense. So we kept asking, was yeah, I'm telling the truth. So I just, all right, I guess it's true. So then, you know, Saturday night, he's all hammered. I go, Dave, did you really see Beyonce? He goes, no.
He's been carrying carrying that around for 4 years.
But he was staying at the horse. Was it called the horseshoe
showboat?
Sorry, right. The showboat where Robbie and Eric and Tommy were staying, and he gets in the elevator to come down to the lobby, and the elevator is kind of doing this stop-start thing, you know, which is not what you want. And then it just stops completely, hitting all the buttons, nothing. He's hitting the call button for like 10 minutes, holding
it. So he's having a panic attack.
Yeah, he's literally getting panicked. He pries it open with his hands.
Like Die Hard.
Yeah, like Die Hard. He's in between floors. He has to climb up to the floor.
God, I'd be terrified that I'd be chopped in half.
Absolutely. He gets out. He walks now down the stairs all the way. He gets down, he goes to the front desk, he's like, yeah, there's a problem with the elevator. The guy's like, in the Orleans Tower? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah. It's kind of, you know, doesn't work that well.
Yeah, don't get on that one.
Doesn't care. It's like, that's it.
So every time I took the elevator, after that, hit that button, every time that same elevator opened, I was like, what the fuck?
Did you risk it?
Yeah.
Wow.
They must have fixed it.
Yeah, they must
after
have.
After chopped that guy in half.
So I'm sitting there at the bar in the sports book, and I look over, and Dave is talking to this black woman, and they're laughing and giggling. And
who's the celebrity she most resembles?
I don't know. She's got weight on her.
Okay,
so,
that's what I wanted to know. Right, she's a big girl is what you're saying.
I mean, she's not huge, but she's definitely not, like, she's above average weight, but she's not obese or anything.
I go with Serena Williams, like thick.
Not athletic. Just,
right.
She's 40 pounds overweight.
Okay.
Okay. So, but she has a big ass. It's nice. This isn't a proportion. So she's not like unattractive, but she's not like attractive. So they're laughing and giggling. They're looking over at us. So I'm like, I got to walk over. And she goes, Dave says that you're all comics and he's your manager. I'm like, he's not our manager. So she turns out she's a dominatrix.
Oh, man. How does that even come up? Obviously, Dave knew before you got over. Okay, got it.
Yeah, he had found
that
out.
So that meant she wanted to have sex with Dave, probably, is my guess.
No, she's looking for money.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yes. Got it.
So, but it got me thinking. I was like, well, how do you tell? Like,
she wanted to have sex with Dave for money. No,
right.
Yeah, okay.
And she also said, like even though I'm dating a guy, he's got to wait 2 years to go down on me. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I don't need to wait that long. I'm fine. Okay. But it seems like that's a very, like, I could tell there's a lot of prostitutes at this bar. It's late at night. But that's a very specific thing that a guy would want. And she's not dressed in any kind of way
that would let you know, hey, right, this is what I'm into. Maybe she has regulars.
Maybe. But I was like, how does she, like, I guess you could tell if a guy, you could tell if a guy's money by the way he's dressed, or, you know, wait, maybe if he won, he's sort of flaunting money.
But you don't know if they're into getting their balls stepped
exactly
on.
Yeah. But she spent the whole night talking to us. So I guess I'm like, well, you're not getting any money out of us.
Did she say what, like, her specialty was?
Yeah, it's jerking guys off but waiting, just teasing it.
Edging.
Yes.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah,
what it's called? Yeah.
Edging is when, yeah, actually, that's not
sound
what edging
annoying
is. Edging is when you jerk off till you almost come and then you stop. It's called edging.
Well, that's what she keeps getting in there and then making you, like, beg or whatever.
Right, I gotcha.
And please and all her shit.
Because I can jerk myself off.
Right, yeah.
So I'm not going to beg.
You can also jerk yourself off and stop. And then start.
That's
again.
True.
You
I can do all that stuff.
Yes, and talk to yourself.
I'm not a 40-pound overweight black woman.
You can
though
do all of that.
Yes, I can berate myself, too. Hey, I will say one thing. I did, when I got, I was pretty wired because I won a lot of money on, I guess technically it's Sunday morning, right? So I go to bed and I'm still kind of tossing and turning. Yeah. So, of course, you know, I mean, I jerk off, right? I mean, that's how else am I going to get
to sleep?
I guess. So I got one of the washcloths from the, you know, the, mm-hmm, the bathroom and, you know, did that. And then I, you know, threw it on the floor or whatever, right? So
classy.
We had a late checkout, 12.
I don't know how I didn't get in on that, but yeah.
You weren't with us. We, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
thanks
so.
Thanks for telling me.
We're gambling. I'm like, okay, well, I got to go up and grab my stuff. Well, when I go in my room, there's somebody in there. And she's
like a housekeeper.
A housekeeper. Yeah. And I go, hey, I go, we had a late checkout. She goes, oh, nobody told me. I was about to take your stuff to Lost and Found. What did she think she had in her hand?
The washcloth.
She had the washcloth in her hand. She had just picked it up off the floor. Man,
and
I
that turned you on, so you had to do it again.
No, I got the fuck out of there, actually.
Well, I'm stumbling up to my room at 6:15 a.m. the first morning. I run into our friend Vegas. He's in a similar dazed state. And we walk up together to our rooms. And I was the first one that checked in because my room was ready. So there was stuff in my room that belonged to you, belonged to Gary, and there was a bag in there that I didn't know who belonged to. I later found out belonged to Vegas. So I'm getting to sleep at like 6:30 a.m. You're knocking on my door at like 9:30 wanting your shirt. I'm like, what do you need your shirt for?
I didn't know what time you went to bed. I didn't.
You think I was going to get up at 9:30?
So I only had three things. I'm sorry. I only brought two shirts and a sweatshirt.
Right.
So I was limited in terms of what I wanted to wear my shirt. You didn't. By the way, you're like, fuck you. I'm not getting
up. I heard you. I just didn't get them.
Yeah.
So then
I should have kept pounding.
I hear Vegas knocking too. I ignore him. Then like 11:15, he's knocking again. He's like, my bag's in there. I'm like, oh, I guess that's your green bag. I go, okay. I let him in. He just stays. He's moving shit off the chair, sitting down. We're talking.
I don't think he had a room, right?
No, he had a room. He'd already went to bed, slept, showered, put on the exact same clothes. So I'm like very confused. Like, did you ever go to sleep? But like he didn't leave. He just parked himself there. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm awake now. It is 11:30, so I should be awake, but not when you go to bed at 6:30.
Yeah.
But it was weird that is that something he does? That he just hangs out and just, does he have no sense that I was trying to sleep?
I mean, 11:15? No, that's, I
but
mean,
he knows when I went to bed because we walked up together.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer that. You know me, I like people around, so. But yeah, I guess if I'm asleep, I don't really have an answer for you other than what if he just watched you sleep? Would that bother you?
Well, I couldn't go back to sleep with him. He's not just sitting there. He's talking to me. We're in real conversations. We're locked in.
So guest 7531 says, Joe, are you for real? That's kind of gross. That's clearly Katie.
Hey, Katie.
I didn't know a housekeeper was going to pick it up,
no.
Katie. That's not on
me. Well,
me.
She's going to pick it up eventually. Someone's going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where do you put it? It's got to be touched. You throw it away? What's the etiquette?
Yeah, that's all you can do. I'm not going to get up to jerk off in the shower. You know what I mean? I'm going right. Yeah, I'm going to use my resources.
So Gary, Robbie, and I have went to my room to get the alcohol that was put in there and put it into Gary's room. And we're on the elevator, and it stops on the way down. This woman gets on with her son, and she sees, you know, we've got this box full of alcohol and beer and stuff. And she goes, oh, well, he's 21 now or something. And I go to hand him a beer. I said, do you want a beer? And then I realize he's severely mentally
retarded.
Oh,
my God.
He's making noises.
Did
he's dancing.
Back?
He's jumping up and down.
Yeah. I mean, and now I'm like, what's the etiquette? Do I not give it to him or do I?
What'd you do?
I just put it back in. I just ignored it.
Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do, but it was super, super awkward. Any questions from chat, by the way?
No, just some comments. They asked, Eric the actor's rolling over in his grave. Rob, you promised to wake up at 8 a.m. regardless of when you went to bed. I didn't hear that. Did you say that?
Why would I get up at 8 a.m.? What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I got up, you know, in time to watch the Maryland game. I didn't miss anything.
Jim Amato said, Joe, did you use soft soap with the washcloth? What? Who jerks off with soap? No.
That's classy.
I did not.
Happy birthday, Jim Amato.
Yeah, happy birthday, bro.
Hey,
no.
Joe, that guy in chat changed his name to Benchwarmer for you.
Oh, yeah, no, that was cool. No, I didn't. I used the washcloth and U-Porn is what I used.
Strong.
Uh-huh.
I used Vegas. I just as he sat there, I just went down. Handsome man. Hey, I'll be wrapping up, Robert. Do we have time to?
You can do that thing with Katie.
Okay, can you get Katie up here? Because I was talking to her before you got here.
Hey, Katie.
Which one of those two is real?
Yeah. Tim is listening, or your former best friend said, "Hey, bad beat story, pretty funny." Listening.
Cool.
Yeah, so wow. You knew he... So I'm sitting here waiting for you to get here, Joe. So me and, you know, Katie, you're talking about the happenings of the weekend. And she... Oh, by the way, I have one more story about Joe. So we're sitting at the poker table. We're on the opposite ends. 5 minutes in, he's talking to this woman. He's showing pictures of the dog. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Then we're sitting later at another table. There's this woman. How old was that woman with the walker?
60, something like that.
Is that old? Okay. Well, somebody called her Aunt Linda or whatever. She goes, I'm Aunt Linda. I'm not that old. And I'm like, what does that mean? An aunt could be any age. It's not an age thing. Then this other guy, who Justin was jealous of because he called him better looking, taller, handsomer, Justin, said, yeah, I'm a teacher. I have an eighth grader that just is pregnant. And Jerry goes, is she hot?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, she's in eighth grade.
Hey, but then he said, I shouldn't. He goes, I wouldn't answer that question. But if I was forced to, I'd say, no, she's fat. I said, well, of course she's fat. Yeah. She's pregnant.
So I'm telling Katie all these stories. And then Katie says that you're going or she's going to a housewarming party Friday. And she's, you know, not sure if she wants you there or not. She's okay either way.
All right, I'll stay home. No, I'm just kidding.
See, what did I say? He doesn't want to
yes.
go.
No, that's not true. I do want to go.
Well, you're concerned that he might come in and just immediately Joe it.
How am I going to notch? She knows
right.
that, so you run the risk.
It's not that I'm worried about you Joeing it. You're going to extra Joe it because they're so much younger. So in order to have, like there's nobody there that's going to be, like, a huge Terps fan, probably. There's no one there that's going to be a poker guy.
He will tell that story. He'll make sure he tells
Let me tell you this. This group of friends, mm-hmm. it's her friend Santana's group
yes.
of friends. And I went to a party at Santana, a Christmas party, not this past Christmas, the Christmas before.
Yes.
And I dominated. So let's not act like let's not act like I'm not able to hold my own in
But
there.
You also, I worry about you enjoying it.
About me enjoying the party?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, what are they doing? Playing Pictionary? Although I'd like to do that too. But no, of course I'll enjoy it. I'll make friends.
Well, there. Do you, you have to bring a gift, right? It's a housewarming.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah.
What do you mean? You, what are you going to go get a gift, Joe?
Yes, I'll be at Target.
Well, if you said, Joe, buy a gift.
Oh, my God.
What,
no.
And you say, how much should I spend? What would you say? $25 to $50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you get? You she gives you no other information.
Do they have potholders in this?
There's no, you don't know anything.
No, I mean, I think what you get is a bottle of alcohol, right? Isn't that the standard housewarming gift?
I would get a, you get a nice vase.
You give somebody a vase?
Yeah.
You've never done that.
A vase.
I'm just thinking of something that if I don't
think,
know
like,
anything.
Tea towels, maybe, you know, a basket. Of some kind.
What about
but
coffee?
I actually think alcohol is actually a pretty good choice.
Yeah, alcohol is a pretty good.
Like a nice bottle of whiskey.
That's what I bring
like,
you.
Yeah. I'll probably maybe get like a bottle of Sagamore. You know, it's like 40,
okay,
some, 40
but,
some bucks.
But you would bring that to any party.
Well,
this
no,
is a
but,
housewarming party.
Yeah, because everyone's drinking.
You
so,
bring a chair?
Well, you're supposed to speak something for the house.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a,
yeah.
it's not, you're not registering. You don't know what people need, so
right,
you just bring
right.
it.
Could you point me to the cock ring section?
Thanks. What's that from?
I mean, people like to stock their bar. I think that's, like, after buying a house, you know, you're pretty broke. So if you're somebody who's bringing you alcohol.
All right.
Hey.
How about this?
Hold on real quick. Meh, call me in chat, says we should bring a beige Christmas ornament.
How about a few?
Fuck off.
Do you have any of those?
Oh, Matt
hey,
Colby, thank
I,
you.
I have another one.
Hold on. Benchwarmer says a vase. That's why nobody would invite Rob to a housewarming. That's not true. Rob,
you're right. Women good. Hate vases and flowers.
No, honestly,
it's a good fucking point. Yeah.
Honestly, I would actually love it if you came to the housewarming party. And
the one he's not... Tim?
Yeah.
He's sure. not invited to this house.
I'll be in
sure
Charlotte.
Be invited.
How are you sure?
How could he possibly?
I met Santana once.
No,
hey,
but
come
I,
warm
not
my
even
house.
Her.
She's,
somebody
yeah.
else.
No, she's yeah. throwing it for her. So I'm sure if I said,
okay.
hey, can I bring my other friend, Rob?
Okay. Well, then I can bring Tawana. Then can she bring someone? When does this end?
Yeah, but, that's I. She can't. Now, if you asked her and put her on the spot, she would say no. She would right. say sure. But... afterwards, she'd be like, can you believe that they brought somebody that I don't even
be,
know?
I think she'd okay. be so nice about it.
I have the
well,
perfect,
she would be nice about it.
I have the perfect gift for you to give.
Okay.
And it requires spending no money because you already own it.
Two vases.
No.
Do you want me to call
five in? Plated coasters.
No.
Ooh, what about
no.
that? That's
yes.
a good idea with our picture on
yes.
it.
Yes.
That's
a great
an inside
one.
Joke.
No.
Right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they need coasters.
Yeah. How what are they going to set their drinks on?
I'm going to call Santana and ask her if it's okay if Rob comes.
Sure.
I can't come. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Never mind.
You should bring some alcohol, a cocktail set, a shaker, a bottle of vodka, and the five-plated coasters.
That sounds great.
That's strong.
That's a lot.
No, I'm not giving them my five-plated coasters.
Well, just one of them.
Not even giving them one.
One coaster.
It's
no,
a
you
set.
You
got to
give them a set. You can't give them
yeah.
one.
Yeah, let's give them the one with our faces
no,
on
that's
it.
That's
yes.
favorite
really
one.
Nice.
I like that one.
Just I'm telling you, I want you to give them to him, but don't set it up. Act like it's a really nice gift.
Oh, my God.
Just say, hey, I got you these coasters.
Yeah.
They're custom made.
We got them at Pottery Barn. Do you like that
what
store?
What do you think they would say?
Thank you.
I think they wouldn't look closely enough at him to start
oh,
with.
I do.
What would they say if we hit
they'd
them?
Be like, oh, it's your, oh, that's nice.
How much to, how much to give them the coasters? And never say it was a never say a word
oh,
about it.
It would be a lot of money for me. I like this person.
Never. You just give them to him. Go ahead.
Okay. What
you.
Are some of them say? Because I've forgotten. There's the
one
that says Joe could do better or something.
Yeah,
she could do better.
She could do better.
Oh, sorry.
There's a wolf yeah. on there. It says oink.
Yeah.
It's like,
give him the oink wolf.
Yeah.
One.
There's one that says you know stealing some of this intellectual property since you know,
right. Never estimated. There's
yeah,
that.
Never
it's,
estimated.
Everything's an inside joke. It's. Like, I'm on mushrooms and I give her something.
All right, we're doing it.
All right, done. Well, I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina with David Koechner, and you guys will be at a housewarming party. So we'll recap all of that next week. The bachelor party has come and gone. We've survived it. The next stop, the next thing, the bachelorette party. Strippers galore. Rob and Joe show. See ya.
See ya.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it was good.